Greetings. Happy birthday, Leo. I'll get to you in just a moment.
I got a postcard. Isn't that great, wonderful news? Many are celebrating the Creator entering His creation to reconcile with His elect. Few will follow Him to reconcile with each other. Please, let's be among them. I love you, I love you, I love you. Your man. To Mrs. Dorothy Jane Kozlowski. Mrs. Dorothy, that's my wife. It's interesting, and I will have a link to because it's Leo's birthday. I did review some of the earlier things I did to Leo, and one of the reminders was I had a I did one. You know, a long time ago, I would drop in things and do the editing. It's work. So, but I dropped in a couple of handwritten letters that went back and forth between my fiancé at the time and myself, describing the events around when I took her with, it was Rachel and I somebody else was, anyway, drove her down to Gardner Webb College at the time and helped her move in, and then she wrote me a letter, and I wrote her a letter, and those images were used on that. Well, I'm going to give you the links to those images, because you will find that there was a fondness expressed by that lady towards me, and a commitment. And you also find in my letter to her, there was a fondness and a commitment. I'm keeping the promise. There has been more dialogue today on Chofar Nexus. So for the moment, I'm just going to leave it at that because it's been an exhausting day. Again, I'm having, after a while, these 40-hour work days get exhausting. And, you know, I have committed to doing the, you know, taking one day a week to take a break. And, you know, not because I'm a part of the you know, the Sabbath keepers, whatever. But I typically do Saturday because that's when, well, in the right time of year, I spend time and invest time with people at the farmers market because I get in a lot of dialogues, and then with other people to and from. So it's kind of like I spend that day and I say, all right, this day I am not going to rush because I need to get to work. This is the day where the opportunities are there to interact with people, so I make use of that. But anyway, because it relates, you know, I saw this and I find it humorous and sad. Project Veritas again. I kind of ignored them for a while because, you know, they are sensational. This is obvious. And you know the video I did, Project Veritas and the Pinterest whistleblower, I had a whole lot of traffic on that one, I think simply because I had Project Veritas in the title. And once people probably got into it and said, well, this is about, you know, a whistleblower that and so I don't know how many people really, but see, you know, it's obviously, there's a market for the sensational. That's why they make sensations, because they make a market. But they did another thing today, and released about a gentleman they call a mid-level executive, supposedly with a doctorate. So you know, he has, you know, paper credentials and those kind of things, and talking about how Pfizer is doing. Doing things in order to find the next mutation in order to have the next virus, because they make a lot of money. Anyway, but so that's the one issue about it. But I watched the dialogue, and it was kind of like there's something obvious here. And so because I saw that, I grabbed all the videos that they had on their YouTube channel, looked at them to see if anybody would mention it. Nobody did. But, you know, because what happened was whatever, day letter, whenever, what's his name? James O'Keefe, went and met this guy went to, you know, saw him at a restaurant, you know, had the cameras rolling and say, hey, can we talk? And the guy went ballistic. He went ballistic. I mean, he acted rather irrationally. So you've got that all on video and so forth. And you know, you can get to the sensationalism about that. But a couple things should be noticed. One is we want to question what you said. One of the first things you said, I'm a liar. You know, and it's kind of like, that's, you know, in one sense, that was an honest moment, wasn't it? I find that fascinating. You know, so of course the question is, what credibility is there from what he stated? How much are his credentials real? And even if his credentials are real, so what? You know, credentials and being able to do things, you know, are two different things. You know, that's why, again, I use my own example. I don't have the paper credentials. You find somebody else who could have designed, with all the credentials, could design the HSP 5100, for example, my knitting machine computer. That was not a master's degree level. That went way beyond that. But anyway, but there's another aspect to it that I don't think I saw anybody make any hint of it, but he made it clear in that confrontation. He was homosexual. He's a homosexual. And because the guy that he was being interviewed by was a man. And he said, you know, I was looking for a date. I was lying. And, you know, it's kind of like, that really is a factor. And I think you can see some of the characteristics in the way this guy acted. But anyway, and I thought about that. I thought, you know, because obviously I have that in my own family. But then, you know, there's this sensationalism of Project Veritas. And then there's the esteemed accurate reporting of Babylon Bee. And they had an article, U.S. tanks in Ukraine already destroyed after being easily recognized by their rainbow camouflage. You know, here's the homosexuality, the relationship on it again, because, and you know, it is my concern for the next generation, especially my own kids, because, you know, logically my kids are part of the next generation. What's happening with the degradation of our culture is going to destroy the culture. And the U.S. and the West in general, you know, Western Europe, Canada, so forth, we're the next Sodom. And there will be a collapse. How? I mean, that's in the Lord's hands. But I do think we can see a lot of it. You know, what this Babylon Bee article, you know, implied was the frailness of the rainbow stuff and all that, you know, because it's a distortion of what God did. What's the purpose of the rainbow? It's God showing his promise to man that he's not going to flood the earth like he did in the time of Noah. That's what the rainbow's for. It is to show God's grace. It's a reminder. And you've taken the symbol that God has given and turned it into something that is raunchy, would be an understatement. And if you point that out, I mean, even the Babylon Bee article, just the suggestion is offensive to a lot of people. You know, because it is consistent. You know, again, the whole reason we're sending the tanks is for money. We make a lot of money. We're not going there to win the war. We're not going to win that war. again, I would suggest that maybe by springtime it's over and Ukraine will have lost. I really think it's a real possibility. This is not a thus says the Lord, but I would suggest it's a real possibility. And what's going to happen? And, you know, because you see the collapse culturally, you know, because so much you're going after the money, you know, worshiping the almighty dollar. And then, and so many people are going after pride. And, you know, the irony of that, they call it a pride thing, the homosexual community, pride. What does the Lord condemn? Pride. What does the Lord condemn? Homosexuality. It's redundant, isn't it? But, okay, one more thing. Happy birthday, Leo. I haven't been quite as reliable. I only started doing the birthday videos in a more formal manner a couple years ago, I think. But I was going out like to the driveway or doing it inside. Well, sometimes when it was raining, I did it inside. But I have got to the point that I have a particular place I go to out in the side yard, you know, and it's just a bunch of trees around me. Not a high traffic area. It's not. But you'll be very pleased to know there's one of these trees that was over at the side. It was fairly rotten. And I pushed it and I pushed it and I pushed it and I pushed it over. Yeah. You know, guys are just that way. We're just... Anyway. But, you know, there's that fun of pushing over a rotten tree. Anyway. But so I went out there, but before I did, I watched the couple of videos I did before for him, 2020 and 2019, I think. And I'll link to them because I think they were, well, I'll link to today's and then they're all together from that point. Because I think some of them, you know, because I brought up the idea about the scientific method, which is what I mentioned in the video today that I did send attached to an email and went out the door a little while ago, because the scientific method makes sense. Here's a thesis. You test the thesis. And then if your test validates the thesis, you can say, you know, we're doing well on what our thesis. We've verified that it's true, or we say it's not working. So do we adjust our thesis in order to, and then test to go back and forth till we get, you know, refine our understanding of something. And then, of course, the issue is you may come, you know, oh, yes, we've got this conclusion. But then, of course, if you come back a year, 2 years, 10 years, a generation later, and you say, well, this was obvious back then, let's test it again. And oops, because there was a different facet we didn't see. And, you know, I think that's important. And my comment is, which I state frequently, do the same thing with the Bible. Apply the scientific method to the Bible, which I would suggest is consistent with the command to test all things and hold fast to that which is just good in Thessalonians. So it makes sense, because the more I have tested the Bible, the more I find the Bible to be true. And the more when I test it and I find, okay, my testing is not bringing me to the conclusion I had, so I have to adjust my thesis. My thesis is not that the Bible is untrue, but my understanding of it was untrue. And I have to, it's not the Bible I correct, because it continues to prove itself to be accurate, but my understanding is wrong, and I correct it. And that's why I would suggest, it's one of the points of, test all things and hold fast to that which is good. You know, and of course, test the spirits and all this. That's in Peter and whatnot. Peter and John. Anyway. I did mention that. I did mention, again, you know, my statement, the Bible is true and the institutional church is a fraud. And pointed out that, because obviously I pointed out to where Leo's mom, my eldest daughter, had this interview with the harmonic atheist. And I tried to interact with him, and he deleted my comments. So he doesn't have enough confidence in where he stands that he can take the challenge. The technical term there is cowardice. That man is acting as a coward. But is that exclusive to the atheist community? Well, no, it's not. Because in recent period, I've done, tried to engage others, three actually, on the Bible is true and the institutional church is a fraud. And thus far, all three have gone away. All three are Christian. So, what's the difference between the reaction of the atheist? Because in one case, it's a similar sense, a similar, not identical, but a similar censorship. What's the difference? So, I want to encourage my grandson, Leo. If you're like your mom, have embraced atheism, don't be a coward. Be able to defend it. Good luck on that. Because I will contend, if you go up against somebody who will give you a serious challenge, you can't. You can't rationally defend that. And I'm willing to take you on. Especially somebody like me. Because I'm not taking you on as an enemy. I'm taking you on because I love you. You're my grandson. I'm really concerned about the weakness in people. Just to conclude, one last thing, because you know, today, Friday, I got my eggs and milk delivered. The gentleman who delivers it, he's I think about a year older than I am, and he walks like an older man. But why? In general, he seems to be in great health. However, he has problems with his knees. What did that, and you know, he made it very clear today because he used an expression that I've used before because it's a common expression. He used to have the habit as a younger guy jumping out of perfectly good airplanes. And he said one of the things that he said, you know, it was the macho thing when he was young, but you know, especially back years ago, with the older parachutes, when you hit the ground, you hit the ground. It's kind of like, ouch. And it cost him. It cost him on his knees. So it's not that he is a feeble fellow, but he was abused. I have never jumped out of a perfectly good airplane. And I've been in perfectly good airplanes, you know, from the time they went up from the ground, up in the air and down. So, you know, I just stay in the airplane. no reason to get out right now. But, you know, I can see the joy in doing that. But it's just like everything you do. Sometimes the things you do, you pay a cost. So now that he is in his later 60s, I know the feeling, he has an issue because of that. And, you know, to me, when I think about that, so what? I have the joy of being in excellent health. I don't have a problem getting up. You know, it was the time that I was sitting with another older man, and time to get up. I just stood up, and he, and what is his comment? Show off. Because, you know, I don't have a problem standing up. But it's not that it makes you superior or inferior. But, you know, sometimes because of the things we do in our life, we have an impact. And jumping out of a perfectly good airplane, especially when you do that 40 years ago, you were doing it at a time when, you know, because we, one of the things we talked about is now the parachutes and the techniques that are used today. you land so soft, not like it used to be. Then you used to pound. Now you land extremely soft and extremely precise. You know, you can put a quarter on the ground and say, I'm going to land on that quarter. Assuming you can see it. but, I mean, because technology has changed in that. So people who do that today will probably not have that impact on their lives 40 years from now. But what he did was not something morally reprehensible that's going to cost him. Or is costing him. He did something that I think was quite rational. Because it was the state of the art of the time, the way he would parachute to the ground. And so I think it was completely rational, and he paid a price. So there's, you know, it seems reasonable. But when you go back to the idea of this Pfizer gentleman who seemed very clear, homosexual, or somebody I know and love who's also a homosexual, what they're doing is, the Lord calls it an abomination. And again, according to the CDC, or it used to be according, you know, I don't know how it's fudged now, it's going to cost 10 to 20 years of your longevity. The homosexual community lives 10 to 20 years less than heterosexual community. Is it because of healthcare? No, it's because of jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. It's because of the lifestyle that you have is damaging you to the point it's going to cost you. And as that community gains in notoriety, as the Babylon Bee mocks, culturally, we're going to collapse. You may recall that the Lord went to Lot and spared his family. When that time comes, it may be still a number of years, I pray the Lord comes and spares my family. Because I do think the collapse will be great. My lady, my wife. Happy birthday, Leo. My lady, I love you and I want you back.